Order. We've been joined by Representative Whitaker, who was here a few minutes ago for the last part of the last hearing. We are now dealing with House Bill 226. We have before you a committee substitute, and I believe that you've just been had distributed to you a typed up version that supersedes a marked up version that was in your packet. Maneva, is it your desire that we adopt this as a working document?
Yes.
Chair will entertain a motion. Representative Green.
So moved. Mr. Chairman, I would move that we adopt for work draft 1LS0917/D Kramer, dated 5/11/99, as our working document.
Any objections? Thank you. Please, Reneva, identify yourself for the record. And
yes, go. Representative Dyson. My name is Reneva Moss. I'm a legislative aide for Representative Coghill.
Can you hear her, Stephanie?
The format of this is that Representative Coghill is going to introduce the bill, and I'm going to explain what it does.
Okay. Representative Coghill.
Thank you, Co-Chair Dyson. This bill is to deal with a problem if a teacher gets assaulted on the job and is taken out of duty. They also lose certain benefits, and their time is not counted or accrual either for, as I understand it, leave and their benefit, their TERS or PERS benefit. So this really is a very simple thing of fixing that. If they're actually violently assaulted, that the system picks up that pay, or if they're assaulted and they're out, then they can buy back that time, as I understand how this finally ended up. So there was some drafting changes that I'm going to let Reneva address, because she worked very intimately with the administration on making sure it was drafted properly. But it really is simply a matter of letting them have the benefit from the effect of violent assault.
Representative Green.
Pardon, I don't mean to controlling the questions here, but do I hear you right that if I am a teacher and I come down with pneumonia, then that's all right, I'm covered. But if somebody whoops up on my hide and I'm out for 3 or 4 weeks recouping, I'm not covered?
Through the chair, Representative Green, currently there is an imparity between PERS and TERS. Currently, for any reason, a teacher cannot buy credit service. Under PERS, a public employee can. This bill also brings a parity because it allows for teachers to fall into that same benefit with PERS. So if a teacher is off the job because of an occupational illness or injury, they can buy credit service time. Also what this bill does is it qualifies all school employees for the benefit of being off the job on an injury that resulted from an assault injury, or an assault, the employer would pay the credited service time.
Just, and obviously, I guess, would be assault while they're in service in the school.
Yeah. Correct. Okay. Physical assault.
Yeah.
It has to result in a physical injury.
Reneva, how many teachers find themselves in that situation in a given year?
I know of one, and there's representatives from the National Education Association that will address that also. The committee substitute, we made very few revisions, basically because of a conversation I had with Retirement and Benefits this morning to make sure that the language of the legislation covered the intent and was very clean, so there could be no misinterpretation of who qualified and who didn't.
Representative Green.
Sorry again. I know I'm slow, but Reneva, if teacher A was injured other than being assaulted by, is he covered?
Covered by workman's comp?
Yeah.
Yes.
Or can he, is he covered by TERS?
His retirement is not covered, no.
Okay. Thank you.
And as I said, public employees under PERS are covered. Teachers under TERS are not.
Hmm.
Other questions? I have one more. Why doesn't this bill have a fiscal note?
It would not affect the state fiscally. It would affect school districts. If a teacher was injured on the job because of an assault, then the school district would be contributing to the retirement service.
Excellent answer. All right. Please continue. Who's next? We have John. Go ahead.
Thank you, Representative Dyson, members of the committee. For the record, my name is John Sear. I'm the president of NEA Alaska. I'd like to start by thanking Co-Chair Coghill and especially Reneva for working with us to put this together. There are not a lot of folks for whom this is going to affect. I mean, this is only going to affect those folks who are actually assaulted while working on the job. What currently happens is if you are ill in the circumstance that Representative Green raises, and you have to leave work, you have sick leave. And you can get sick leave, and while you're on sick leave, that's a paid status, and you continue in your retirement status. But if you are hurt on the job, then you're eligible for workers' comp. When you go into the workers' comp system, you are now on a leave without pay status, which means you are no longer eligible for your retirement benefits. It just seems to us, in those few cases where folks are assaulted while doing their job, that they deserve the protection, at least, of keeping their retirement. And we really do appreciate the sponsor of this bill working with us to put this together. We hope, quite frankly, in the future that nobody needs this. I mean, this is just an insurance policy for those folks who may be hurt. With that, thank you. I'd answer any questions.
Representative Green.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Was it a year or two ago that there was a principal in one of the Bush schools that was beaten pretty severely by a student? He would fall under this and was not covered while he was recouping?
That's correct. And we had a teacher in Anchorage at the Whaley Center a couple of years ago. Exactly the same thing happened to him. I mean, it happens, you know. I mean, if you work with kids, these kinds of things happen. We wish they wouldn't, and in the climate we have, you know, we are extremely worried. So, thank you.
Representative Bryce.
This covers non-certified employees as well, right?
Through the chair, Representative Bryce, that is my understanding, yes. It covers both PERS and TERS. So.
Yeah. Any other? I'd have two people that want to testify. Let's see, do you have them on, Don? Guy Bell and Bill Church.
We're here.
Ah, I'm sorry.
It's the retirement dudes.
I'm having a senior moment here.
Beam me up, Scotty.
Mr. Chairman, I'm Guy Bell. I'm the director of the Division of Retirement Benefits. Bill Church is our head retirement supervisor. Representative Coghill's staff actually covered the bill quite well. The main section that brings TERS on par with PERS in terms of allowing people to pay for accredited service while they're on leave without pay due to an on-the-job injury is Section 3D. So basically what that section does is put TERS on par with PERS when it comes to occupational injuries and leave without pay. The other sections of the bill address the issue of the physical assault to a teacher or to another employee of the school district, and that, in fact, under those situations, the employer would be fully responsible for the cost of the TERS time that person would have been employed had it not been for the physical injury. And that's basically our testimony, and we'd be happy to answer any questions.
Any questions, gentlemen? All right. Anyone else want to testify on this bill? Chairman will entertain a motion.
Go
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I would move that HB 226 with individual work draft 1LSO117/D Kramer committee substitute. Thank you very much. With individual recommendations and zero fiscal note.
Any objections? Thank you all. Let the record reflect that Chairman, Co-Chair Coghill and Dyson agreed with the NEA.
Appreciate
it. We appreciate you guys.
Oh, man. They are indeed.
Did the earth shake for you?
It actually was quite hard to know how to testify.
Take a look in the area and find out where they always opposed.
Always. We are now ready to take up House Bill 16. Is that right?
Yes.
That's right. And we have the charming Representative Croft before us.
Time to strike, Eric. We're really in a benevolent mood.
Croft, please proceed.
Well, I think it's the committee's turn to proceed, Mr. Chairman. I enjoyed the discussion the other day, and it is to some extent, to a complete extent, the committee's discretion on what you'd like to do. I think where we left off was two major branch points, or a major branch point between two decisions. One is to recognize this for what I originally intended it, which was a consolidation of function, current function, not meant to be a dramatic change in function, regulation, scope of authority, all those things, but just solving a perceived conflict of interest, and let the process of rewriting the regs continue. Another is to try and incorporate this consolidation into a change in function that would be part of that regs. I appreciate you asking me what I would prefer, but I really did want this committee, I think it's the right group of people to discuss this issue and decide. I have, I guess, a slight preference for doing what I originally intended to do, which is simply consolidate bodies and not change function, eliminate a conflict of interest, but not reorganize a whole regulatory structure. I intend to, want to, continue to work with the department, interested in the new regs they'll have, interested in the new standards, but it's not vital to this piece of legislation.
Representative Bryce.
To accomplish that goal, we just keep House Bill 16 clean as it is and probably move the piece of legislation without the fiscal notes or ask the chair to rewrite a HES committee fiscal note that would show the actual transaction between DOA to Health and Social Services.
Do you see Elmer's out there, please? Okay, thanks.
We got important medical issues in the judiciary, too.
As I remember, Representative Croft, when we last were hearing this, I'm fuzzy, but seems like we said to the department and you, is there a way to work this out? Is there principles that should guide us here? Should all the licensing be done at a single place? And should it be separated from the organization that administers it? You know, two philosophical questions. Elmer, please join us. It's Elmer Lindstrom, Department of Health and Human Services. Elmer, I'm trying to remember what we did the last time we were together. It seems like we were asking some philosophical questions. Should all the licensing be under one roof? Yes or no? Should the licensing be in an organization that's independent from the organization that administers the program? And then the last question was, is there, can you at all, within the administration, come up with an ideal solution that gets us headed at least for the best way to organize and administer this licensing inspection process? Is that a bad summary where we got to?
Mr. Chairman, Elmer Lindstrom, I think those questions were raised, and there are probably others. And I believe, yes, there is a process that the administration, Department of Administration, and the Department of Health and Social Services are willing to commit to that I think will get us those answers. And I apologize for being late to the meeting. I understand that the committee has been provided with a memorandum from Allison LG, from Kay Burrows to Allison LG dated May 11th, 1999. Regarding timeline for review of assisted living regulations. And Mr. Chairman, that is a process that we would commit to you to engage in over the next several months with the goal of, by the fall of this year, having a very good understanding of where we want to go in terms of who should appropriately license. We will have gotten done a process of the review of the existing regulations. We know that there is much work that needs to be done there. Specifically, I think we know today that we probably need to look at separate standards for smaller mom-and-pop facilities as opposed to the larger assisted living facilities like the Pioneer's Home. And I think as we begin that review, we will, by next fall, have a much better sense of ultimately what we want this system to look like. And I think, at least I'm willing to predict, a fair likelihood that one of our conclusions will be that we will need legislation. And again, next year, we will know what that legislation ought to look like, at least from our perspective.
Representative Green.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Elmer, I think that's really a good move forward. And what I would ask further, if and I got in here last time when Representative Croft was just finishing up his discussion. I subsequently went through some mental or some rudimentary math numbers and came up with the number of bed days review type thing that over half would probably have to deal with the mom and pop that you're talking about. So I'm a long way around saying in this review, would you look at the possibility of looking at maybe needing new regs, new accrediting for big, and maybe whether or not it's necessary for the little? It significantly affects the fiscal note, which is going to be a choking point. So if in this review you could do that, it would certainly be a help to me.
Absolutely, Mr. Chairman. I think we will be looking at exactly that in the regs. And when we conclude that my department needs to do some of the licensing, perhaps for the larger facilities, that review, that looking at the standards, that developing the standards will allow us to refine our fiscal note and our cost estimates far better than what we've presented to you to this point.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Representative Kemplin.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. So would the Department of Health and Social Services be opposed to movement of this bill as it is written out of this committee?
Mr. Chairman, I think I'd like to take a pass on that. I think next fall, my gut tells me we're likely to be looking at a need for some sort of legislative fix. I don't know what the sponsor of this bill's thought might be, if he would like to engage us in that discussion, if this bill is a possible vehicle for that, where he would like this bill to be sitting next year and so forth. I don't know that I'd say we'd object to moving the bill from this committee, but I think we can say that this needs some further work before we would be absolutely comfortable with thinking we had the final legislative solution.
Representative Kemplin and then Bryce.
A question for the sponsor of the legislation then. Representative Crawford, are you comfortable with this bill remaining in this?
Representative Kemplin, let's talk about tactics for a minute after we've asked the other questions, because there's several things and a couple things I want to more add before you ask that question. Representative Bryce?
I guess I'm coming down on the side of going ahead and move House Bill 16 is a recommendation of long-range care task force. It's a simple change of administrative function that should come up with a net zero fiscal note, moving out the Department of Administration functions into certification and license as it's written.
Mr. Chairman?
Now, if we want to bulk up and focus on developing a stronger certification and licensing process and develop certain standards for assisted living programs, that is something outside of what we're talking about in House Bill 16, as I see it.
Representative Elmer, to respond.
Mr. Chairman, I do know my commissioner would be, in fact, opposed to this legislation should it pass without the funding, as we've been able to estimate the requirements at this time.
All right. We're going to go off the record.
Hope there weren't any reporters.
I'm glad if there are. So my sense it is the consensus of the committee that we hold this bill and that we revisit it and we work with the department, and they're going to be working on it. They've given us a timeline here, this letter we've got from Kay, and we'd like to be kept in the loop on this, maybe have some concurrent meetings, and probably when we start meeting in August, we'd like an update, and we will, in the meantime, redraft a fiscal note down to whatever low bid we can get on office furniture moving. And
some of us might be for hire by then.
And that's okay with the sponsor.
That sounds great, Mr. Chairman. And like I said to begin with, this is exactly why I wanted to get it waved up to here so we could have this kind of discussion, either on the record or off.
All right. Any other further business to come before us today, Wes? All right. Thank you, gentlemen. House Hess is adjourned.